Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll explore an easy and effective way to delegate. Well, Andy, all leaders eventually come to that point when I guess they have to admit, no matter how hard it is, that they can't do everything. They know they'll have to delegate some responsibilities if they want their organization to move ahead.
Yep. And this really goes back to something we talk about a lot on our leadership podcast, and that's that for the leader, the ultimate goal, the bullseye on the target, is to only do what only you can do, which means you've got to quit doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing, which brings us to our topic today of delegation. And the other thing that – and we'll get into this a little bit later – the other thing about delegation, because it's not a super exciting word, is delegation really, when it's done right, is really a leadership development strategy. And one of the questions that we get so many times from leaders is, how do you develop leaders? How do you develop leaders? And I think they picture a classroom or a setting or a every Tuesday at 4:30 we, you know, do something. But really, when delegation is done right, it really is a leadership strategy, because you find out quickly who are the leaders, who are the responsible leaders, and who can you trust greater responsibility with. So this really is a super important topic.
Yeah, I mean, it is an important topic, and yet again and again we see leaders struggle with it. Why do you think that is?
I think it has to do with just the nature of leadership. As leaders, three things. We know how we want things done. We know when we want things done. And because we are responsible by nature, the idea of handing off responsibility is not intuitive, I think, sometimes to leaders, because we feel responsible and we should feel responsible. But refusing to hand off responsibility actually puts a lid on our leadership. So again, because we know how we want it done, sometimes we're, you know, hesitant to hand it off. Because we want it done when we want it done, and it takes longer – we're going to talk about that later as well – it takes longer to explain to someone how we want it done. And then the whole idea of we're just responsible. Along with that, if a leader, especially an entrepreneurial leader, if a leader isn't careful, they or we can get caught up in what Jim Collins refers to as the genius with a thousand helpers syndrome. You know, over time, everything starts to hinge on a singular source of brilliance or talent. And great leaders, truly great leaders, especially great organizational leaders, even talented organizational leaders, avoid that by handing off responsibility. And again, that comes down to delegation.
Recently, during a leadership conference that we host, one of our best leaders, Gavin Adams, conducted an enlightening breakout on delegation, and he's joining us on the podcast today. So welcome, welcome, Gavin.
Lane, thanks, Andy.
It is great to have Gavin here. And for those of you who are new to our leadership podcast, let me explain just a little bit about our organizational structure, because that will give Gavin some context for what he has to say. Gavin is an extraordinary leader. We are organized around several large church campuses around the Atlanta area. Gavin leads one of those. Gavin came into a very difficult situation. It was a struggling church. We took the church on as part of our network, brought Gavin in as the point leader, and he's done an extraordinary job. On any weekend, during their weekend services, they'll have around 5,000 people there. So it's a very large church, and he's done an extraordinary job. One of the biggest challenges to Gavin's leadership context is they have been in a rental situation. So they have 5,000 people showing up on the weekend in a school that they rent. So again, it's a challenging leadership environment, but he's done an extraordinary job, and now they're in the middle of a construction process. So this is a very complicated time in his life as a leader, and if he did not understand the art of delegation, none of this would be happening. So I feel like if you can be an expert in delegation at your age, Gavin, you've got to be an expert. So I'm thrilled that you're here, and I'm thrilled that our audience gets to hear from you today.
Andy, thanks. That's super nice of you to say. Actually, most of what I've learned has been through trial and error, mostly error, especially in the beginning. When I first walked into Watermark, as you said, it was a very challenging situation. And because it was a turnaround almost situation, I had to get my hands in every facet of the organization.
Yep.
And that helped in the beginning, but it also quickly became a lid for me, for my family, for the organization, because it was hard to understand when to begin delegating and why even I needed to, because it was so necessary for me to be involved in everything up front.
And one of the things that you experienced, that many of our leaders who are listening experienced, is it was your responsibility to establish the culture, which meant, as you just said, you had to be a part of everything. But you can't be in everything for very long without destroying the culture at the same time.
Exactly.
Because it's a culture of leadership.
In fact, one of the things that for me was so helpful, Andy, is just your teaching on autonomy and pushing leadership as far down the organization as you can. Because in the beginning, I didn't know I needed to do that. I realized quickly that if I didn't, we were going to all be in trouble, me mostly, and the organization secondly. And so your teaching on it actually really gave me clarity on what to even do to continue to grow the organization.
Gavin, I think the thing that made your breakout at our leadership conference so helpful was that you defined leadership delegation at different levels. Before we get into them specifically, talk about why you thought this is important.
Well, the levels was so important for me because delegation, while it's so critical to personal health, organizational growth, all those things, we know that. It's such a balance between micromanaging on one end and then complete abdication of leadership on the other end. Mm. So what I was afraid of is that when I began to realize delegation was going to be a necessity for us and for me and for the organization, I knew that I had to find ways to do it successfully. That, you know, random drive-by delegations was not going to take us where we needed to go. Mm. We also felt the need, or at least I felt the need, to create you know, what we would say common language around this. So we were all playing off the same playbook in delegation. We all understood exactly what we meant when we were delegating. And also, I just wanted to make sure I was providing clarity. I think one of the most frustrating things for me as a younger leader was when anyone delegated to me, without clarity, my expectations weren't clear. Their expectations weren't clear. I felt like I was set up to fail so many times, not because I didn't have the ability or the desire to do well. I just didn't know what was expected of me. Hmm. So for me, really, the clarity that came with creating these levels or investigating these levels was so helpful for us.
And I think one of the things I appreciate so much about Gavin's leadership is this specifically, because this is something I struggle with. I think I succumb to the assumption that if it's clear in my mind, it must be clear when it's coming out of my mouth, which is not the case. And throughout my leadership experience, I've had people come back to me consistently saying, Andy, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me to do. And I'm thinking, well, it was clear to me, you know. So again, I think the more a leader owns something, the more they tend to lean toward not being as clear. And this goes to something we're going to talk about later as it relates to handing off responsibility. But Gavin has done an extraordinary job, and his team always says that. They know exactly what Gavin expects, but somehow you have been able to avoid, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the tendency to micromanage along with the high expectations you set for your team. So anyway, let's continue.
Well, let's talk about the four levels. So quickly for our audience, the four are investigation, informed progress, informed results, and finally ownership. Well, let's start with investigation.
Lane, as you said that, the first level is investigation. And really for me as a leader, as I began to feel overwhelmed, honestly, with where we were at as a church and the growth we were experiencing, I just read everything I could read on delegation. I studied it as much as I could and came across several different pieces of information from different places and pulled it together to create these four levels of delegation. So the first one is investigation. And really it's almost a pre-delegation level in some ways. Investigation it's when we ask a leader, not necessarily to make a decision yet, but just to get information so that we can then collectively make a decision. Now, that may lead to another delegation. It may lead to a project or lead to a task at some point, or it may not. We may find the information when we get it back doesn't lead to that. The first level for me is investigation. So basically, I'm going to delegate research, delegate the opportunity for someone to go and help us gather information so that either I individually or our leadership team can make a great decision.
Gavin, this sounds like a good way to measure a person's capability really without risking too much.
Well, absolutely.
And their interest.
Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about our leadership development process, and you're right. It isn't this systematic listed on every Tuesday thing. In a lot of ways, this is so helpful for younger leaders to give them an opportunity to contribute to the overall goal, to the bigger, you know, larger team. But at the same time, we're not burdening them with a massive task they're not quite ready for. So allowing them to investigate, come back with recommendations, and come back with information really is helpful for them. A great example of this for us was when we launched our Sunday afternoon services. Andy, Lane, you guys, we talked about that a lot between all of us. But when it got to the local church level, I delegated the task of figuring out what it would look like to start this to some of the people on our staff. It really was a level one delegation for them to find out how much it would cost to start this. How many volunteers would we need to do this? We weren't launching it yet, but we were investigating what it would look like.
In fact, you hadn't even made the decision to necessarily do it.
Not yet.
So before the decision was made, you're involving the people that you're thinking in the back of your mind, I may hand this off to this team. Let's involve them as early as possible in the process of even deciding.
Exactly.
Which is really, really smart, because in a few minutes when we talk about are we delegating task versus responsibility, This step, this sort of pre-step to delegation, actually creates a sense of responsibility with a team before you actually hand off the responsibility. So that's really great.
I think also I always assumed that delegation had to be specifically tied to an individual task or a project.
Yeah.
The reality is that we can back delegation up further and bring more people into the process at the same time, grow leaders at the same time, before we even get necessarily to a decision or a task or a project.
And I think this explodes one of the myths around delegation, because when we hear the word delegation, what we picture is the boss or the leader call someone into the office and says, I have an idea, I have a project, I have a task, I want you to go do this project or this task. But what you're saying is that delegation actually begins before that one-on-one where you say, I'm asking you to own this task or own this project. And I think that's great.
Gavin, that leads us to the second level that you call informed progress.
Yeah, level two is informed progress, where we really ask for someone to own a task, but I ask for them to come back and give me regular updates along the path and then to let me know when it's completed. So I'm remaining available, obviously, the entire time, but I'm not releasing them to go take care of it completely on their own. I am asking them to own it, but to also keep me informed along the way. A great example of this for us right now, and Andy, you mentioned this earlier, is we're in the process of constructing our first permanent facility.
A large facility. How many square feet?
Well, just – it keeps growing, thanks. So just under 180,000 square feet.
Yeah, so not a casual endeavor.
Right. It's big. But here's what I love about the idea of delegation. I'm not even owning that construction process on my own. In fact, I mean, we would think in every organization the point leader should be the one making every decision when it comes to something of that size, for sure. But I have level two delegated this to a guy named Al Scott on our team, who is a phenomenal leader, great with details, great with leading teams and coordinating all the entities. He is keeping me informed. I'm getting regular updates. I'm contributing to that conversation. But as far as the actual task itself, Al's owning it because I've level two delegated that to him.
And this goes back to level one, investigation, because Al was in the process of helping you decide where do we build, when do we build, how big do we build them. I mean, he was involved all along the way. So when you finally called him in to say, Al, I want you to own this, this wasn't own what, you know, why are we doing this,
exactly.
you know, a thousand questions that drives you crazy. Because you had involved him, you got a sense of whether or not he wanted to do this and whether or not he could do this. He had a sense of whether or not he wanted to do this and whether or not he could do this. So again, you're way down the road by the time you finally hand off that responsibility. And I think for leaders who just were constantly thinking about the future, were a little bit tight with information, and especially for very entrepreneurial leaders, we skip that first step, which would have made this second step so much more complicated than it needed to be. So this is that's a great illustration of this.
Gavin, going back to the reporting back, you know, bringing information back to you as they're leading the project. Now, to some people, that's going to sound like micromanaging. How do you keep it from becoming that?
That's a good question. I think it can feel like that if we're not careful in how we communicate the delegation. I've always felt like micromanaging, and I've had it done to me, and I've done it way more than I would like to admit. Micromanaging for me has always been about telling people how to do a task. Level two delegation is not about telling them how to do it. It's just asking them to keep me informed as they do it.
Yep.
And so the information side doesn't feel like micromanagement. In fact, I feel like it's freeing to them to know that I'm available and I want to help, but I'm not going to tell them exactly how to do it.
One more question I have for you, Gavin, before we leave this topic. You made the statement that Al feels as if you're really there to serve him and help him do what you've asked him to do. So are these regular meetings? Are these scheduled meetings? Or is this, hey, Al, if you need something, call me? And the reason I ask is because my tendency when I delegate, I lean more toward abdication. I feel like the micromanaging, ask the people who work for me when I'm not in the room, if that's really the case. And because my follow-up is so bad, I think I don't make myself as available as I need to be for fear of micromanaging, but I think you handle this differently. So talk just a little bit about what that follow-up looks like that, again, gives Al the freedom to do what he's been asked to do without him feeling like you're looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like I can tend to that abdication side too, because for me it's just more out of sight, out of mind. I'm not as much worried about micromanagement as I used to be. Now it's just – there's so much going on.
Right, there's so much. Right, we're busy.
As soon as I delegate it, now I think, well, it's gone. So for me – and it's task, you know, dependent. Each project is different. With this one specifically, yeah, we have regular meeting schedules so that we will sit down at least twice a month is what we're scheduled to do, just to review progress, review where we're at. If there's any decisions I need to speak into, I can at that point. But to know that I have at least twice a month an opportunity to officially do that,
right.
That's helpful for Al and for me, and it creates great clarity. I know we keep saying that, but clarity is so important in the delegation process. So yeah, absolutely. Now, not every project is that frequent. I think it depends on the size and the scope. And really the leader who's leading it as well.
As I mentioned earlier, this is something I'm really not good at. And my salvation really has been my admin assistant and the calendar, because Diane knows if she doesn't calendar those one-on-ones or those one-on-threes for me to follow up with these projects, it won't happen. And so because she knows that about me, I have empowered her. I've said, Diane, this is something – you know the people that I need to meet with frequently. And as you said, depending on the project and the timing of a project, you know how often I need to meet with them. So, Diane, I'm trusting you to make sure those people get FaceTime with me based on the project and based on the schedule, because if it's left up to me, I'm just not good at that. So I think for those of you who tend, as you said, out of sight, out of mind a little bit, use your admin, use your calendar. Don't trust your gut on this one. You may need a little bit more structure.
Andy and Gavin, thanks so much for your time today. And to our listeners, we want to make sure you join us next month for the continuation of this discussion with Gavin. Also, we want to give you a chance to shape an upcoming podcast. So if you've always wanted to ask Andy a leadership question, please email it to info@andystanley.com. That's info@andystanley.com. And during a podcast this fall, he'll pick a few of the most frequently asked questions and answer them. Up until then, you can hear more from Andy on leadership at andystanley.com.